I would like for us to read together. You follow me, if you will. If you notice the sermon title, it's a Psalm of Thanksgiving. A Psalm of Thanksgiving. This is from Psalm 116. I love the Lord, for he has heard my voice. He heard my cry for mercy. Because he turned his ear to me, I will call on him as long as I live. The Lord is gracious and righteous. Our God is full of compassion. The Lord protects the unwary. When I was brought low, he saved me. Return to your rest, my soul, for the Lord has been good to you. What shall I return to the Lord for all his goodness to me? I will lift up the cup of salvation and call on the name of the Lord. I will fulfill my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people. I will sacrifice a thank offering to you and call on the name of the Lord. I will fulfill my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people, in the courts of the house of the Lord, in your midst, Jerusalem. Praise the Lord. You don't have this on your bulletin, I don't think, but in the Hebrew, praise the Lord is pronounced hallelujah. Remember that. Well, this is our annual Thanksgiving Sunday. And when we use the word Thanksgiving, this close to Thanksgiving Day, what do you think? What do you think of?
Turkey.
What's that? Say it again.
Someone said turkey.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure that's very high on the list of our thoughts. It's food. And you may have noticed that that our dear friend Milton departed. He's doing me a favor. He went downstairs to put his turkey in the oven, and he'll be right back. Okay. Well, our thoughts are of food, of turkey and dressing and sweet corn, green bean casserole with fried onions on top, potatoes of all sorts, and peach cobbler and apple pie, or maybe Sue's favorite, Joy's lemon meringue pie. As a matter of fact, even though some of us, I admit this, you're already halfway downstairs to where that's awaiting us. Well, even though that's true for all of us, our thoughts about that Thanksgiving feast is going to be a fine reality in an hour or so. Just an hour. No, it's going to be just a few minutes. Maybe another 20 or so. Maybe not even that long. Well, yes, that is Thanksgiving. That's where a whole lot of our thoughts about Thanksgiving go about now. But I don't have to beg you to think along other lines, though, because we are gathered here as an indebted and grateful family of God. We're here as his children, his church, gathered for these moments to make our Thanksgiving our refreshing time of worship. One of the greatest Christian virtues is thanksgiving. Our grateful expression of thanks to God as we acknowledge him as the source of all blessings. Blessings that are granted abundantly on us by the grace of God. James 1:7 expresses this perfectly. It's 1:17, I'm sorry. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights. And so today, for our spiritual blessing, we will consider the psalm of our morning text, Psalm 116, that praises God for the personal triumphs that the psalmist has received from God, the personal triumphs for all of us. The author of this psalm, it appears, has had suffered a severe illness and had been in the very jaws of death. Here's verse 3 that I didn't include in our reading. The cords of death entangle me. The anguish of the grave came over me. I was overcome by distress and sorrow. You see, he felt already tied up by the cords of death, and he was on the verge, teetering on the edge of the grave. And yet he prayed with faith, even against all odds. With that ominous beginning, this psalm becomes then a glorious shout of thanksgiving because of the deliverance from the illness that he had felt. Illness that he thought was already ushering him into the dark realm of the dead. He declared that even so, because of God's grace, he would keep on praising God. Verse 2, he said, because he turned his ear to me, I will call on him as long as I live. Excuse me. His love for God and his gratitude to him prompted him to write this psalm of thanksgiving for the divine one that he loved. And in God's wisdom of his word for us, these inspired and inspiring words of Holy Scripture are written for us. The psalmist testified to what the Lord had done for him. The first 8 verses are about that. Verse 2, he turned his ear to me. For me, and I believe for all of us, it is holy, and that's W-H-O-L-L-Y, it is holy or completely comforting to know that Almighty God, the Lord of all of the universe, is interested in us as individuals. He is an intensely personal God. For instance, I love to read Psalm 23, and I love to focus for just a moment on the personal pronouns that King David put there as he wrote out this very individualistic feelings. This great psalm reflects on his recollections from his boyhood shepherd days. And then it brought him up to the present about what God was doing for him. And so sometime soon I would encourage you to read that psalm with the personal pronouns in mind. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. There's 7 me's in that psalm. There are 5 my's in that psalm. There are 4 I's in that psalm. All in 6 short verses. That's a lot of personal in just a few words. You see, we are not alone. Who of us can read and meditate on Matthew, the 6th chapter, verses 25 through 34, without a feeling of grateful security? This is a portion of the Sermon on the Mount where Jesus is speaking to us about the human tendency to feel insecure, to worry about our needs. It begins, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. And I'm sure that you will recall those verses in there where he points us to the birds of the air and the flowers of the field, and their complete dependence on God for all of their daily needs. He emphasizes that while God supplies the complete needs for those little birds and the abundant flowery vegetation, the Heavenly Father is far more pleased to provide for every human, that's us, every human need. I'll just read some of verses 32 to 34 to sum it up. Your Heavenly Father knows that you need them. He's speaking of the daily needs there, the food, the clothing, etc. But seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow. That's what the Lord has done, is doing, and will continue to do for us. And listen to the comforting testimony of Jesus in John the 14th chapter, verses 16 through 18. He said, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate or comforter or counselor to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and is in you. I, Jesus, he said, I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Jesus tells us that while it is what he said on the mount where he presented that sermon, that our physical needs always are provided by his Father in heaven, as to the birds and the flowers, but then also our spiritual, our inner needs are taken care of always and forever through the indwelling Spirit of God. Well, back to Psalm 118. For he heard my voice, begins verse 1. And then in verses 3 and 4, he describes what he was calling out to God, that which God heard. The Hebrew verb translated heard in verse 1 indicates more than simply to hear. It indicates that God not only heard, but also answered. See, God is always ready to provide. The words of Jesus in Luke 11, 9 through 11 are reassuring. He said, so I say to you, ask and it will be given. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. And he adds as an illustration, as an example, which of you fathers, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Is that, God's like that. He gives you what you ask for. So we go to Psalm 116 again. The psalmist then recognizes that God offered his grace. This is verse 5. The Lord is gracious and righteous. Our God is full of compassion. Likewise, our thoughts quickly turn to the grace of God as the cause of our thanksgiving this season. How grateful we should be. Listen to Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. Absorb this with me, if you will. For it is by grace that you have been saved, through faith. And this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. 1 Sunday, the story goes, in a typical small church somewhere in America, in Sunday school, the lesson was on grace. And the teacher asked, what is grace? See, this was a Sunday school class where they all participated, you know, like Boscadel. Okay. One man answered, grace is the unmerited favor of God bestowed on us as unworthy sinners. Well, that's really good. Someone else added another thought. Then the teacher turned to an older man, a farmer dressed in his best Sunday go-to-meeting overalls, and he asked, Bill, what do you say grace is? Well, Bill scratched his head full of gray hair. I kind of like gray hair. And he thought for a moment, and finally Bill said, well, I ain't for sure, but I think it means that God provides all the stuff. Well, so far we've followed the path of the psalmist as God turned his ear to him, as he heard the psalmist's voice and his request for mercy, and as he recognized how abundantly God offered his grace. Now through that path, he acknowledged that God delivered him. Verses 6 through 8. I'm going to read those again because we've been a while. The Lord protects the unwary. When I was brought low, he saved me. Return to your rest, my soul, for the Lord has been good to you. For you, Lord, have delivered me from death, my eyes from tears, my feet from stumbling. That is a tremendous tribute to the grace and the mercy of God. The psalmist had had a terrible dilemma. He was helpless. And then God delivered him. In the light of this, here are the words of Isaiah 40, verses 28 through 31. One of the great passages of the supporting strength of God with us. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. And so, then recognizing the response and the grace and the deliverance of God, the psalmist turns to his own response to God's goodness. God had responded to him. Now he's responding. It's a great pattern for us to copy and to follow. Turn again to the back of your bulletin and follow these verses, if you will. Verses 12 through 14 and verses 17 through 19. What shall I return to the Lord for all his goodness to me? I will lift up the cup of salvation and call on the name of the Lord. I will fulfill my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people. I will sacrifice a thank offering to you and call on the name of the Lord. I will fulfill my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people, in the courts of the house of the Lord, in your midst, Jerusalem. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. First, he says, I will lift up the cup of salvation. And salvation here includes more than being saved in that initial experience that you had. As you have come to know, since you began your belief and since you were baptized, it includes salvation in the fullest extent with all of its incorporated blessings. And today, focused as we are on Thanksgiving, think of the multitude of blessings of your salvation and thank God for them. Count your many blessings. See what God has done. And then he said, I will call on the name of the Lord. Verse 13, the psalmist declared decisively that he will pray. He will commune with God. And he repeats this determination again in verse 17. He recognized prayer as a valuable ally for him. And don't we all? In verses 8 and 9, and we didn't read verse 9, so I'm going to help you with that. He affirms that since God has delivered him from uncertainness of footfalls, from my feet from stumbling, he says, I will walk, I will walk before the Lord. His testimony is that he will always be conscious that God is looking upon his life. He's knowing every thought, every word, every deed. And this is so similar to the thoughts of King David, the one who is identified in our Bible as the writer of Psalm 139. Read verses 1 through 5. You have searched me, Lord, and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you, Lord, know it completely. You hem me in behind and before, and you lay your hand upon me. You see, knowing the omnipresence of the Lord, always there, these men of God, the psalmist of 116, David of 139, wanted their lives that God knew and knows so intimately to be pleasing to the Lord. And then he says, I will fulfill my vows. He pledges that in verse 14 and verse 18. While feeling the desolation of his illness, the psalmist had made a vow to God. He promised to publicly praise God and give him the glory for his life. And now, as a part of his response to the grace of God, he remembers and reaffirms his vow, his praise, his promise. And by his example, and as our own response to God's mercy and grace, we too must diligently remember that a promise to God is sacred. Amen. Then he concludes it all, verse 19, with a way to conclude all of our thanksgiving. Praise the Lord, or hallelujah. Now notice, if you will, the psalmist not only indicated his own praise to the Lord, but in the way he put it, he encouraged others to do the same, to praise him. So looking back momentarily, that is a great response to acknowledge that God does indeed hear us and blesses us with goodness and mercy and deliverance from difficulty. And with the psalmist that we read today, we will, with him, lift up the cup of salvation. We will call upon the name of the Lord. We will walk proudly and humbly before God. We will fulfill our vows, fulfill our promises to God, and on our own, and also join together. Praise God. This Thanksgiving season, dear family of Boscadale Baptist Church, let's think of two more blessings from the Psalms. Psalm 107:15 tells us to remember to give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for all mankind. And Psalm 100, verse 4, tells us how we should have gotten here today and what we do while we are here. How we should have gotten here today? Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. And what we do when we get here, give thanks to him and praise his name. Now, join me, if you will, to conclude this message for us today with the Hebrew word that is at the end of this Psalm 116. Hallelujah. Say it. Hallelujah. And in American English, praise the Lord. All right, amen.